Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. And while you're turning in your copy of the Scripture to the Gospel of Matthew, let me ask you a question. Why is it so significant for you and me to be in the Word of God? What's so important about you and me being here in times like this? Gathering together in the house of God to come together and open the Word of God, what's so important about it? Well, Jesus makes a big deal about it because in the Gospel of Matthew, in the latter verses, Jesus makes it very clear in the life of every single one of us, no matter who we are, no matter how much you have or no matter how little you have, no matter what amount of money you may have or if you're poor, the Bible makes it very clear that there is coming into the reality of every one of us the storms of life. And it is very important and significant that you and I learn to build our life because the storms are coming. It may happen something like this. You're going about your work week and you've not been feeling too good for some time. And all of a sudden you decide, well, you're going to listen to your husband, wife, and you're going to go to the doctor. You've not been feeling well. And you go to the doctor and all of a sudden he sends you for some tests. He sends you for some x-rays, and he comes back and you sit across from the doctor and he says, I need to tell you something. You have a terminal illness. Just this past week, as I was preparing for this message, getting ready to preach this, I got a phone call. And this phone call on the other end said, I need to ask you to pray for, and they shared who the person was. They didn't give name, but it was an age of a person. Said, would you please pray for this teenager's parents? This teenager had just been killed in a car wreck. And this mother had not heard word yet, but she was getting ready to hear within 30 minutes that her world was going to come tumbling down. She was going to hear how her daughter had been ejected from a car, how her daughter had been killed, and not knowing why and all the circumstances. The Bible makes it very clear, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you have or don't have. Jesus makes it very clear in the Gospel of Matthew that you and I are going to face storms. They're going to come. And I want you to look carefully in your copy of the Scripture. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, listen carefully to what Jesus says. Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Now notice carefully verse 27. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. If you and I could choose when it comes to life, we would choose not to have the storms of life. You would choose not to go through some of the things you're going through in life. Some of you have already weathered some tremendous storms in your life, and if you'll be real honest with yourself, you would say they almost did you in. Jesus makes it abundantly clear in this passage of Scripture, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much or how little you have. It really doesn't matter how old or young you are. Somewhere across the pathway of life, you are going to have storms. As a matter of fact, whenever you look in Scripture, one of the men that is used, that is talked about the most, he was one of the wealthiest men in the world in his day and time. And all of a sudden, the storms of life, came to his family, came to his servants. And the Bible says that so many things were consumed, and I'm talking about Job. But the Bible makes it very clear that it is significant and it is important why you build your life well. There are so many people who really don't take time to think about their life. They think about everything else in the world. They think about their job. They think about their income. They think about retirement. They think about sports. But they don't really stop to think about the reality of life. And the fact is that every one of us are going to face storms. You may be in one right now. But I want you to follow along very carefully because there is some very serious reasons why you need to build your life well. Now, I want to give you a caution at the very front of this message. Some of you will not build your life well, and 10 years from now, you will have a significant storm that will blow at your life. God is using this time and this space, and it will blow and it will beat, and your life will be devastated. 15 years from now, some of you will not even be in church someplace. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because the reality of life, as I look back over my years of pastoring, I've seen where some people have responded to the storms, and the storms have knocked them off course, and they gave up church, they gave up God, they gave up the Bible, they gave up everything, and they blamed God on the storms of life. The truth about it is, they weren't ready, they weren't prepared, and so the storms devastated them, their lives. And the truth about it is, it doesn't matter what age you are. You may be a teenager. You may be in your 20s. You may be in your 60s. You may be in your 70s. Storms are not isolated to an age group. If it was, I would say to the teenagers, now get ready, you're going to have a storm at the age of 70. Or you're going to have a storm at the age of 40. I read just last night where one of the singing stars was invited to, I think it was a prom by a young man. He's 18 years of age. And the story behind it is he has some type of cancer and it's debilitating his body. He used to be a wonderful football star, but his body is being wrecked with the cancer. And I believe it was Taylor Swift. She declined only to give him a better offer. She invited him to a certain awards program or something like that. The reason I say that is this. He was only 18 and he is only 18. You're going to face storms. What will you do with your storm? Well, I want you to follow along in your outline because the Bible makes it very clear and we want to look at just four basic realities. The Bible says the storms of life are inevitable. If you look carefully in verse 25, the Bible says the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. Notice that Jesus didn't say if the rains come and if the storms come and if the winds blow, but Jesus made it clear that to both types of men, the storms came and they're going to come. They're going to come in your life, to your life. It does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much you've got. You are heading for storms. Now, I don't know what storms you're going to go through, but the Bible makes it very emphatic we're going to go through storms. And when God says it, you can chalk it down because just the reality of life and living. And you see, the thing about it is, there's all sorts of storms. There are storms in marriage. Maybe you've faced some of those in your life. You've been through a storm in your marriage and you was debating whether I should stay or whether I should go. You're saying, should I forgive? Should I not forgive? There are those type of storms in marriage, and many couples find that out. Many couples are they're honest with themselves. Something has happened. Something, wife doesn't feel like her husband loves her anymore. Her husband doesn't feel like his wife cares about him anymore. And so there's the storms of marriage. You know, there's those storms that not only hit us in marriage, but there's financial storms. You know, in the world that we live in, we live in a shaky time. You put your money in the bank and you hope to make a little money and make a little interest. But we live in a very volatile time. There's so many financial storms, so many people losing everything they've got. I am more acquainted now with people who have lost everything they've got than I ever have before. No more people who have gone bankrupt, faced foreclosure. And you see, the reality of life is we're going to face some storm, whether it's in marriage, whether it's financial. And then there are those storms of sickness and disease for seeming no apparent reason. You're minding your own business. You're living your life. You're going day by day. And all of a sudden, you go to the doctor and he says, well, you've got some blockage. You're going to have this taken care of. I need to put you in the hospital as quick as I can. And all of a sudden, you're minding your own business. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not doing anything negative. You're not doing anything ungodly. You say, well, Pastor, if God really loves me, why do you face storms? Be honest with you, there's a lot of things we'll never know this side of eternity. There's a lot of things, if a preacher would be honest, he couldn't give you exactly, but here's one reality. We live in a fallen world and we're fallen creations, amen? We cannot get out of this world without dying or the rapture. I'd love to go to the rapture, but if I live long enough, I have a hunch it's going to be the first one. But the Bible says you're going to have some storms, whether it's financial or whether it's relational. And the thing about it is, every one of us, I never will forget the phone call that I got when my mother had a stroke and she was minding her own business, living life as she planned on living. And that's the same way with many of you. You've had family members and all of a sudden something sudden happened. And the Bible makes it very clear that there are storms of sickness and disease. You go to the doctor and you're just trying to live your life the best way you can, mind your own business and walk right with God and walk right with your family. And all of a sudden you hear the doctor say across from his desk, "I'm sorry, but I need to tell you, you've got," and he may even say 6 months, a year. You see, the probability of some of us in this room contracting a terminal disease is greater today than it ever has been. Some of us are going to have some inundating storms, and if you're not ready for it, you will collapse spiritually. Now, listen very carefully when I say this. It is not the storms that destroy you, because I've seen some of you go through some tremendous storms, and only the Lord knows about it and you know about it. And you've gone through some devastating times. And it's not the storm that destroys you. It's whether you're ready for the storms. That's why God uses times like this when you're not in a storm. Listen, you can't build your house in the middle of a hurricane. You can't build your house in the middle of a tornado. How many of you have ever seen somebody pouring a footer in the middle of a tornado? Or seen somebody outside and they're on top of a house and, you know, they're putting down shingles in the middle of lightning? If they are, I don't want their number. Because you don't want that type of person to work on your house. But the Bible makes it abundantly clear. As a matter of fact, storms that hit our body. There are some of those storms that hit your body, and maybe nobody knows what's going on in your body but you. You've not even told anybody. But something is going on the inside of your body. Maybe you and one other person, maybe your husband, your wife, somebody that you love close to you. And you see, the Bible just reminds us all throughout Scripture, you look at the rich men, you look at the poor men, you look at the godly, you look at the ungodly, all different types of people had storms of life. Now, am I saying that it doesn't matter how you live, that you're going to go through the storms? Absolutely not. Because, listen, you have a godly life and there is an anchor in the worst storms you can face. The winds will blow, but they will not devastate you. And if I'd had time, I was going to use an example, and I thought about this, putting pieces of paper on one little table and put pieces of paper and a brick on another table and put a fan behind both of them. The one that didn't have anything on top of it, they'd fly all over the place. And that's the way a lot of people are. They're flying all over the place because the storms are coming and they're going here, there, and yon. They're trying to find out what's going on. What's happening in my life? Why is it going? But you know what? That person who's grounded in the Word, he'll face the storms, he'll walk through the storms, and there'll be some blowing, but he will not be devastated. He will not lose his course. And you see, the Bible makes it very clear. They're coming. And you see, it doesn't matter where we build our house. It doesn't matter if you have a nice house or don't have a nice house. The Bible is referring to your life. There are going to be some storms that hit your life. And, you know, the sobering truth is, you know, when it comes to the storms, it's not the storms that destroy you. And that's why it is so important for you to be in the house of God and you dig into the Word of God and you learn the Word of God, you absorb the Word of God, because here's the reality. When your storm comes, it's too late then. I've had some people who've come to me and they've been right in the middle of a storm. It's too late for me to tell them to get in the Word of God. It's too late now. I'm not saying that they can't get in the Word of God. But the storm's already at them. Listen, if you don't get in the Word of God and prepare for the storms, then you're going to be in some situation in your life, and it's going to devastate you. And you see, Jesus makes it very clear they're inevitable. And the Bible says they're uncontrollable. You know, look what it says in this passage of Scripture, and also look in your outline. Listen to what the Bible says in Job chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. You see, if we could control the storms, we'd love to. We'd like to control them maybe to a few raindrops. You know, you say, well, I've had a big storm in my life. There was 18 raindrops that came in my life. But that's not the way it is. Your husband says to you, if he doesn't want to say, I'm leaving and you're not going to get any money from me, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a storm. Or you go to the doctor or something else happens. The Bible says they're uncontrollable. Now think about it a moment. if you knew that you was going to build a house where there's going to be storms, what type of footer would you put down? Hopefully you'd put a deep footer. You'd put listen to what the Bible says in Job. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Listen, the Bible doesn't say in this one passage of Scripture that Job had any idea before the day came. Job probably started this day out like he had started out 100 other, 1,000 other days in his life. And that will be probably the day when your storm comes. You'll get up, you'll get ready to prepare for the day, and all of a sudden, somewhere in the day, the storm will hit. That's why it's a big deal for your life. You are so significant to God that he is telling you and reminding you and encouraging you and asking you and inviting you to be ready because they're going to come. You see, the reality was, you know, Job had, if he could have bought his way out of the storm, he would have. When you go back and you read all that Job possessed, it was hundreds of cattle, hundreds of sheep. I mean, he had abundance upon abundance upon abundance. You cannot buy your way out of the storms. That's why it's so important for you to be ready. It doesn't matter. And you see, the thing about it is, in the life of Job, regardless of the fact that Job was a godly man, he was a pure man, he walked with God, all of a sudden it came. Came upon his servants, came upon his possessions, came upon his children. As a matter of fact, you look in verse 6, the first storm was that of financial loss and death. The second storm, you look in verse 16, it was a storm of calamity and more death and destruction. And then you look at the third storm, it involved even more death and destruction. And then in verse 18, the Bible says he lost his family. And you know, the reality of it was, Job had no way of knowing they were coming. If Job had not been ready for these storms, you and I would not be reading the book of Job. There would be no book of Job named in the Bible. But Job had a reverence for holy God, and he worshiped God, and he lived his life preparing for whatever would happen in life. Because the fact of the matter is, Satan is going to do everything in your life possible to devastate you. Now, listen carefully. Don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. God has an absolute love over our life. God controls everything that comes into our life. But listen, God in his loving, infinite, perfect wisdom, and we're not near where God is, so we don't even need to try to ask the questions. Satan said, God, you've sort of put a hedge around Job. You're not going to let anybody touch him. And then the Lord God said to Satan, all right, you can take his possessions. Took his possessions, and then he retained his integrity. And then Satan came back to the Lord God and said, you let him lose his family, and he'll curse you to your face. All right, Satan, I'll allow you to take his family. And in the midst of that, would you retain your integrity if you lost it all? If you lost your house, if you lost your family, if you lost your possessions, what would you then think about God? You see, the thing about it is you know, and I read comments and I see people posting on social media and they're talking about the good things that have happened in their life. And they said, thank the Lord. God is so good. But have you ever said, Lord God, thank you for an adversity? Thank you for something that's not gone so well in my life, and I just want to thank you for it. That's not normally our human nature. And you see, in the life of Job, here was the reality. We may think that we're ready for the storms in life, but here's what happens. When the winds blow, in the storm, you reveal yourself for who you really are. In my storms in my life, I reveal myself in those storms for who I really am. You see, you can say what you want, but here's the reality. There's going to come some storm. There's going to come something someday. You said, well, I've already had all the ones I'm going to have. Are you sure? I'm sure that Job would have probably said, surely it can't get any worse. After he had that, he lost his possessions. He lost his servants. He lost his children. After he thought he lost everything, he thought, surely it can't get any worse than this. But here's what he ended up having to face. Three sorry friends. Now, I say that because if you read Job, you'll understand. They start saying, what'd you do wrong? Don't you just love it when somebody comes into your life and they tell you something and you wish they hadn't visited? I never will forget one lady that visited me some years ago. I was in the hospital and I'd had some surgery. And anyway, she came to the room. She said, who's your doctor? And I told her who my doctor was. And she said, law me. And I was afraid what was coming next. But she said, I wouldn't let him operate on my dog. And I thought, you didn't have to tell me that. I was sitting laying in a hospital bed and Charlotte was sitting to the side. But she was a precious lady. But I didn't need to hear that at that time. You know what I'm talking about. And even his wife said, well, why don't you just curse God and die? Listen, here is the integrity of Job. I came into this world without anything, and I'll go out of this world without anything. And though the skin worms devour this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. It's he that's made me. And Job retained his integrity. I can't help but think God in heaven said, bully for you, Job. You have retained your integrity in the heat of the storms. When everybody else has turned their back on you, I've allowed things to happen. Satan has brought things in by my permission. I've watched your life, and you have not dared remove yourself from integrity with me. You see, there's something about that man or woman in integrity. Because you know what happens so much? Listen, what's your life sometime? We have something goes wrong. We have to pay too much tax and we get mad. We have to pay too much. Look at why God has blessed us. And all of a sudden we face some type of storm in our life. Listen, if you're not ready, and here's what's happened so many times. People end up, their life is unblessable. You know why? They've decided to walk away from God. I don't want to have anything to do with God. If God don't keep me from all the storm, listen, do you think God created you so your life could be without trouble? Do you think God created you so your life could be without any problems? God allowed his own son to be crucified. And sometime you need to read what crucifixion is all about. And you and I are to be exempt from storms. How selfish can we be? And in the life of Job, he retained his integrity. And you see, the reality of it is, one thing we have to be honest with, oftentimes the storms are sudden. You know, if you stop and think about it, you know, go back to a time in your life when you faced a storm. Was it sudden or did you hear the breeze blowing? Most of the time they're sudden. And you see, in the life of Job and in the life of these two men, the Bible says the winds blew. The Bible didn't say it started out as a light breeze. The Bible said all of a sudden the winds blew. Here are two men that are building their life. One is building his life on the truth of the Word of God. Another is building his life on the world and everything that comes down the pike. And the Bible says, Jesus himself says, the winds came and beat upon the house of that man who was built on the truth, and it fell not. You know what happens in the midst of the storms? When you're anchored in the Word of God, here's what happens. You're in the Word of God, you cry, you hurt, you agonize, you ask all the questions that are right and necessary, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what happens at the end? You retain your integrity, you don't give in. You get back into the Word of God and you say, Lord, help me understand. But you know what happens to that person who's not in the Word of God? And this is some of you. This is some of you. You say, now, Pastor, how do you know? I want you to listen to me real carefully. When you're not in the Word of God, it's not important to be in the house of God. And if it's not important to be in the house of God, that's a pretty good idea. You're not in the Word of God. And here's what I know is coming to your life. You're getting ready somewhere down the road to have a sweeping wind in your life. And you'll think, well, I went to church. What happened? It's one thing to get into the Word of God, but I want you to listen to me very carefully in the next statement. It's completely different to let the Word of God get into you. They're not the same thing. A lot of people get into the Word of God and they read real fast and thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. But you know what? When you get into the Word of God and the Word of God gets into you, you can't easily leave the Bible. You can't, because you see, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? And you see, the reality is, Jesus is speaking. Since Jesus knows everything about you and is God Himself, He is telling every one of His creation, you and me, all that will listen, your storm is coming, whether you believe it or not. Your storm is coming. You don't have to believe the Word of God. You don't have to get ready for it. You don't have to do anything, but you will not disprove God. And you see, the thing about it is, He's not out to blow us away. He is reminding us that that is the reality of life. That's the reality that faces every one of us. And you see, when He talked about these two men, you know, the Bible bears out in the book of Proverbs. Listen to this verse in Proverbs 27:1. You do not know what a day may bring forth. Tell me what's going to happen tomorrow in your life. Tell me what you really know is going to take place tomorrow. You can only guess based on the past, but you honestly don't know. I don't know. There is absolute and complete mystery about tomorrow, if you're really honest. And you see, the reality is last. The storms of life are destructive to that person who's not built his life well. There's no simpler way to say it. You say, what about people that are saved by the grace of God and they've invited Jesus Christ into their heart? Are they destroyed? Yes. You say, now wait just a minute. They've invited Jesus Christ into their heart to be their Lord and Savior. But it's one thing to get in the Word of God. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to get in the Word of God and get ready and be prepared for it. And that's why a lot of believers who are really genuinely saved, they're home this morning, they've had some devastating storm in their life, they've had something inundate them, and they're not going back to church anymore. And they're not really upset at anybody else, they're just upset at God because their life was not made to order. Where is your life in Scripture supposed to be made to order? Not a single verse there. Jesus says, the storms are coming. And you see, it's so significant to notice the two outcomes. I want you to look carefully at it. Just look in your copy of the Scripture as I read it one more time. In verse 27, Jesus said, whoso heareth these sayings of mine. They're not the sayings of a preacher. A preacher preaches them because they're the truth of Holy God. They're the truth of Holy God because they originate from the heart of God. And He said, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him to a wise man. Wise man, he built his house upon the rock. The what? The rock of the truth of Jesus Christ. You know what? It's not hard in the storms when you realize some of the storms, they're not your doing. Some of the storms you face in life, it's not because you've sinned. Sometimes there's some people that believe this idea. Well, you know, every storm I face, what have I done wrong? How have I sinned against God? That's not necessarily the case at all. Some storms come because that's the reality of life and that's the world we live in. But that godly man, he builds his life. And the fact is, you will end up one of two ways in the storms. It's interesting to notice that Jesus doesn't give five different parallels in this verse. He said there was one man who built his house upon the rock, and his house, representing his life and the totality of his life stood. But then there was another man. He didn't build his house on the rock. He built his house on everything coming down the path. And the storms came. And the Bible says great was the fall of it. I never will forget seeing on the news some years ago, and it had a picture of this CEO's house. And he was caught in some type of scandal. I can't remember what the corporation was, but it was one of the large corporations. I don't know if it was Enron, but it was one of those. And he could see no way out. And according to what I recall the story sharing, that he sat in his car, pulled the trigger, shot, and killed himself. Because the storms of disaster were coming, and all that disaster was probably man-made because of what they had done through dishonesty and dishonest means. But here's the reality. He had a wife, he had children, he had all these things and people, and he didn't build his life well. Listen, there are but two outcomes in the storms of life. I've watched friends, some probably you know, and some that you know that I may know, and others that you know in your own life. What's happened to their life? The storms came, they turned against God, they turned against the church, they turned against... Was it the storm that destroyed them? No storm will destroy you. Storms expose the material that your house is made of. You know what I'm talking about. When you build your house, you build a good footer. You have a deep footer because you know maybe something might happen. And you try to position your house in a safe spot. Storm doesn't necessarily destroy the house. If that house is not able to stand the storm, it falls. And that's the reality of so many people. Why is it that storms come and you'll see a few buildings stand and so many fall? Because those have been tried and tested in certain storm in a synthetic way, and they've stood. Here's the reality of your life. You may be a teenager. And you go to the doctor someday. You may be in your 20s. You may be in your 30s. And the doctor has to hospitalize you for some unknown reason. But the storm will not destroy you. The storm has never destroyed a single person who's anchored in the Word of God. Now notice I didn't say it didn't beat on them. I think of some of you in your life, and I've walked with some of you through some very difficult storms, disaster and tragedy and death. But you know what I saw in some of your lives? I saw the wind blow. I saw maybe a few, you know, feelings of inundation. But you showed who you were because you're anchored. Friend, you'll do one of two things with this message. You'll accept it, believe it, and do something about it in your personal life. Or you'll say something like, well, that's nice thoughts. Jesus never just gives nice thoughts. If you're not ready, you will be destroyed. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. There are preachers who are not prepared for the storm. That sounds odd to say, but there are. I know some preachers that have lost the complete course of life because of some storm. There are all types of folks in this world, but here's the facts. You, not God, decide if you'll stand. You say, what do you mean by that? God don't make you read the Word. He don't manipulate a single person. You are so significant to the Father, He will never manipulate you. He won't make a single person do a single thing. God don't operate that way. But you know what He does? He cautions you. He encourages you. He warns you through His servants, the preachers, His teachers, His prophets. And then you personally decide what you'll do. You see, every one of us decide what we do with our relationship with God. There is a storm that's beyond any storm in this world, and that's the storm of eternal rejection. Some of you are going to leave this world and you're going to die without Jesus. You've heard so many messages, but it's getting a little more easy to sit through a message. It's getting a little more easy to reject. And the more you listen and the more you reject, you'll reject a little more, not listen a little more, and you'll think everything's okay until that one day you breathe your last breath and you find it very real. Whatever godly preacher pastor, teacher has said, you will find you are in hell. And it's all over. But it's all just begun. It's all over the fact that you have no more chance to be saved. You have no more chance to come to Jesus Christ. You have no more chance to repent. You have no more chance to be redeemed. And from then on, throughout all the rest of eternity, you will live in a storm that can't even be described in human language. And you'll be there, you'll live there, inhabiting the domain of darkness in hell with the devil. All the fallen angels, every person that has rejected Jesus Christ, and you'll live there forever. I cannot even conceivably comprehend that type of world. But you see, if God made you do anything, don't you think He'd make you get saved? He loves every one of us, but here's what He does. There's a life in front of you, life or death. You choose. And if you walk out of this life, there's no more preacher that will preach. There's no more message you can hear. It will be over, but it'll just be begun. Friend, you're here and you're facing some storm, and you're not really, really sensitive. You're not really honest with yourself. You're not building your life on the Word of God. You're building your life on television programs. You're building your life on the newspaper. You're building your life on everything comes down. Don't cry to God when your storm comes and you're not ready. No crying will help in that moment. Here's why. He's warned you and warned you and warned you and warned you, and you've rejected every one of them, and you'll not be ready. Oh, Father, thank you so much for your holy word that reminds us, tells us, declares to us your sobering, wonderful, and amazing truth. And you give us warnings about the storms in life. Oh, dear Father, I pray for that person who's just simply not choosing to be prepared. Everything coming down the pathway of life has caught his eye or her eye. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit of conviction would convict them even right now. And Lord, when the storm comes, it's going to be too late. And you give us loving cautions. And when we get into the Word of God, our life is so different. Because you somehow shelter us. Because you see that person who yearns to walk right with you. Father, I pray that you would draw that man, that woman, that person to you. Who needs to come, who needs to invite Christ into their heart, who needs to surrender themselves to you, who needs to join this fellowship. Father, your will be done in this invitation. In Christ we pray. Amen.